Welcome to the Perry Johnson Laboratory Accreditation Podcast, where you can expect the latest news and discussions relevant to the laboratory accreditation industry. Today's episode is a previously recorded webinar. If you'd like to tune into our upcoming webinars, visit our website at www.pjlabs.com or give us a follow on your favorite podcast app. Thank you for tuning in.
Hello and welcome everybody to the November 2023 webinar provided to you by Perry Johnson Laboratory Accreditation. My name is Michael Kramer. I am the Calibration and Inspection Program Manager at PJLA. I'm happy to be presenting to this month. The area we're going to look at is Section 6.6 of the ISO IEC 17025 2017 standard, which is the section on externally provided products and services. It's relatively a short section within the standard. As always, this webinar is being recorded for those that may be attending for the first time. You all are muted. I hope everybody can hear me. I cannot hear you. However, there is a place for you to ask questions. At the conclusion of the webinar, I will review those questions. Please keep the questions pertaining to today's topic. This webinar will be available on the PJLA website at its conclusion, along with a vast array of various webinars we've done over the last few years. Also, you can also go to our webinar and request the slides. So, getting back to today's topic, section 6.6. So this section here, externally provided products and services, combines two arenas. It combines purchasing, and it also combines subcontracting, and both are incorporated into the requirements of 6.6. So my sort of intro into this area, regardless of what's required within 17025, feel it is important for organizations to select the right vendor. If you think about it, you're selecting a partner in your business who you'll trust to work with in a professional and profitable manner. Regardless of what the standard requires, putting that aside, I feel it's important that you select a company that can meet your requirements now and in the future. So looking at the actual clauses within the standard, 6.6.1, laboratories shall ensure that only suitable externally provided products and services that affects laboratory activities are used when such products and services, and these include things that are, as I says, that are affect laboratory activities. So equipment perhaps you utilize in your calibration testing arenas there, reference materials, services, could be calibration services, for example. So we're incorporating those that's depicted down here at the bottom of this slide. So again, 6.6.1, that affect laboratory activities are used when such products and services are intended for incorporation into the laboratory's own activities, i.e. your testing or calibration or sampling activities within your scope of accreditation. B, are provided in part or in full directly to the customers by the laboratory as received from the external provider. So we're talking about subcontracting here. One thing I want to mention about subcontracting In 17025 and PJ Ali's policy, these are items that are currently on your scope, and for whatever reason, you're have a need to subcontract it to another organization. These don't include things that you may be acting as a middleman on. Perhaps somebody, I re recall when I was on the calibration arena, folks would send us items in to calibrate. Some items they just wanted us to sort of act like a middleman, send off to another organization that had the capabilities and were accredited to do it. So these are items that are under your scope. C, of course, are used to support the operations of the laboratory. So just backtracking again regarding subcontracting, I needed to highlight this section. So if you are subcontracting any of your work that come under the realm of these requirements, there is a requirement in review request tenders and contracts that specifically states that prior to subcontracting, you need to gain the customer's approval. So I fit that in here just on a side note. You can see the requirements right there. And you may not intend to subcontract, but the possibility things could happen, unforeseen circumstances. It's sort of caught on the catches the note here, which comes from the standard. So purchasing externally provided products and services. Get another note in the standard. What type of services or goods or services are we referring to here? Examples can be, of course, use be equipment, auxiliary equipment, consumable materials, reference materials. Services, of course, can be calibration services. Perhaps you're a testing lab and you employ sampling services to go out and collect samples to bring back to your organization. Facilities and equipment maintenance service, proficiency testing services, assessment and auditing service. So I have a couple support functions down there. If you think about it, those folks, if you're accredited with Perry Johnson or even another accrediting body, we should be included in this section here, externally provided products and services. We're providing accreditation services. Perhaps you have an outside organization doing your internal auditing, proficiency testing, the utilization of a third-party provider, software, or sampling. 662, the laboratory shall have a procedure and retain records for. So we see that in the standard on several occasions, shall have a procedure and retain records. So once again, a procedure is something in place that tells your organization how something is done, and the record is the showing that it was done. So under 662, the laboratory shall have a procedure and retain records for A, defining, reviewing, and approving the laboratory's requirements for, excuse me, externally provided products and services. B, defining the criteria for evaluation, selection, monitoring of performance, and reevaluation of the external providers. So that's a key element in here. If you recall back prior to the standard being revised, we operated under 2005. It said list those approved. Sort of strengthened these requirements when the standard was revised in 2017, and that you actually have to define the criteria, i.e., what is the basis of approving a particular supplier or subcontractor. C, you have to ensure that the externally provided products and services conform to the laboratory's established requirements, or when applicable, to the relevant requirements of this document before they are directly provided to the customer. So for example, traceability, if you're utilizing a service of an organization for calibration and traceability is needed, then a 17025 accreditation would be a way to assure that they're meeting your requirements if you're required to also provide that traceability. And then D, taking any actions arising from evaluation, you accept them, you reject them, monitoring of the performance and reevaluation of the external providers. So it's not a one-time event where you evaluate a supplier, you have a criteria in place. You also have to reevaluate and monitor your external providers as specified in 662D, taken out of the standard. So capturing a record and approved vendors or suppliers list can be utilized. However, the criteria used to approve the supplier would need to be captured. So if you recall, that criteria was a requirement criteria for approving a vendor or a supplier or a subcontractor. You have flexibility. Approved vendors list can still be used. I have seen approved vendors list expanded. That also includes the requirement for the criteria. Let's say, for example, 17025 accreditation was the criteria, and then also perhaps that expires, which is a great tool for the monitoring. You want to make sure they keep it up. So, in a nutshell, here. You have flexibility, so you can still utilize the approved vendors as long as you're capturing that criteria, and hopefully capture that you're also monitoring the approved supplier or subcontractor. So I keep mentioning criteria for defining evaluation, selecting, monitoring of the performance, and reevaluation of the external providers. It can include things, which comes to the top of the list is accreditation of 17025. And of course, is important for traceability purposes. I mentioned PJLA being included as your in this arena here. Basis for approving, say, your accreditation provider could be the ILAC MRA. I could go start Mike's accreditation business this week. However, I don't have the backing of the ILAC MRA that shows I am complying with 17011. Proficiency testing. If you're using a third-party provider, perhaps having 17043 is a criteria, which is a international standard for proficiency testing provider. Even ISO 9001, that shows assurance that your supplier has a quality system. Perhaps it's a supplier of a particular manufacturer of equipment that you use in your laboratory, that they have a quality system that complies to the 9001 standard, and hopefully perhaps certified by a third party registered. Other things that can be considered are things like on-time delivery. Hey, you can audit your suppliers. Maybe you've had some of your customers come in and do supplier audits on you, or perhaps send you a questionnaire. Other items can include testimonials and references. These can be valuable. You can check that the vendor is reliable as they claim to be. Years in business. You need to know that the organization is established and ready to service your requirements. So if an organization has been in business for, let's say, 50 years, chances are they're going to be around for a little while. And they've been in business for a number of years for a reason. Last but not least, I have accuracy requirements and capabilities. So I mentioned 17025 accreditation. scopes of accreditation. May want to take that a little bit farther, particularly if you're looking at calibration here as services for your external providers. So you may want to have criteria as far as the range and the which CMC is. So what we're referring to here is here's a snippet out of a calibration scope. That calibration and measurement capabilities. That is the best the organization can produce as far as reporting uncertainties. So let's take that top one, pressure. They can provide you a calibration, provide you a result with an uncertainty of 0.33 PSI. So you can assure that they're going to meet your accuracy requirements. It could be another criteria that could be placed on top of the accreditation. And they also have the range to fulfill your needs. And we mentioned monitoring. So again, another snippet from a PJLA accredited certificate. You can see there's expiration dates on there. And we have organizations that lose their accreditation. They can get suspended. They can voluntarily withdraw. Can have their they can have things taken off their scope. So something you want to, as far as monitoring, if you're hanging your hat on their scope of accreditation, want to make sure you capture that expiration date, make sure that it's updated when the time comes, and that your particular need is still captured under that scope of accreditation. 663, the laboratory shall communicate its requirements to external providers for, this is when you're putting in your work request, and the key is there, communicate. That can take many different avenues. Communicate your requirements to external providers for, of course, the products and services to be provided. The acceptance criteria, again, that could be your tolerance level for a calibration service. You're in the driver's seat here. You're communicating your requirements to your vendor. You can have specific requirements or tolerances you want communicated and clearly understood to your supplier before they accept your work. Sure, and they have the capabilities to meet your requirements. Possibility of competence, including any required qualifications of personnel, perhaps some specific license that may be required. Activities that the laboratory or its customers intend to perform at the external provider or premises. Excuse me. So calibration and testing. I know it's done a lot with calibration. We have providers that can calibrate, of course, at the fixed facility. They can also go on site at the customer's location, say pipettes, for example. I've seen many organizations actually bring their balances, their water supply, their environmental monitoring devices, and they are accredited to do that. That's part of their scope and something that's subjected to the assessments of the accrediting body, on-site calibrations. Again, yeah, you have flexibility. Just want to make sure that you get from your supplier what you require. And today's there's a array of ways that to communicate to your suppliers. No longer there's a requirement for a purchasing document. However, purchasing documents can still be utilized to create a record to show exactly what's been conveyed to your supplier. So you want to make sure enough detail is conveyed to your supplier and examined upon receipt to assure you got what you have clearly specified. What I'm trying to convey here is we have two separate calibrations here. You know, I recall doing an assessment one time, and the assessor, this particular calibration needed traceability. And was looked at the report and sort of reflected there on the left, which is a plain Jane certificate of accuracy. Well, I know this organization needed, they needed various things that's going to be required as per 17025 reporting. Things like, hey, they need to know if devices were in tolerance. Hey, they needed the uncertainty because that was a part of their uncertainty. dug a little deeper, we looked at their purchase order, and their purchase order simply stated, please calibrate. Yes, the vendor was 17025 accredited. However, the the laboratory did not clearly define what they needed as far as their calibration needs there. So you want to clearly communicate as much detail to your supplier, and you want to examine, you know, once you receive that you actually got, you know, what you clearly specified to your supplier. All right, so I mentioned this was a short section. That concludes the requirements within section 6.6. As I mentioned, there's a spot for questions. If you have any questions, type them in. I'm not seeing any coming across right now. Hope I didn't confuse y'all. Or I certainly hope I clearly conveyed the requirements here. So I'll just give it some time, allow this to populate. And if I bear with me, while I'm gonna see if I get anything else here, just want to convey to you folks an opportunity that we have at Perry Johnson. On our website, we're offering a virtual course. It's a two-day course. Next one is going to be February 6th through 7th. Great if you're doing your internal auditing in-house there. Great for your internal auditor to go through it to get a better understanding of internal auditing and the requirements of 17025. So this is an overview course. It'll be taught live, virtually. It's going to have case studies, interactive activities, simple and user-friendly implementation techniques, case studies, going to be presented by PGLA's Technical Program Manager, Matt Sika. There, go to our website. There's a link there. Or go to PGLA, pjlabs.com, and simply follow the training tabs there. But great opportunity, and it's being done virtually, so I do it right in the confines of your office. All right, let's see here. For proficiency testing, it is a requirement that a supplier is 17043. Vendor we use is 17025 currently. Well, we've got two different standards there. 17043 is a third-party provider. That is an organization. They'll send you, say, if you're a calibrator and you're doing pipettes again. Let's just throw the pipette example out there. The third-party provider will send you pipettes to calibrate. Well, you would calibrate them just like a customer. You would provide them your values, your degree of uncertainty. Everything's completely confidential. You'll be given a code. All the other participating labs will be given a code. At the end of the process, you would have a report showing your results compared against numerous other labs' results, and a lot of statistical analysis, E normal, Z test are normally included in there. When you say you use 17025, I think you're referring to what's called an interlab comparison, which is, and this is all in our pile, we're getting off topic here, but PL1 goes through proficiency testing. So you, of course, can go to third party. Which I just mentioned. You can also do an interlab comparison where yourself and at least one other organization will test the same artifact, and you would have to compare your results in a meaningful way. So if I'm not mistaken, perhaps if you're doing an interlab, you can have your criteria for your interlab partner, excuse me, that they are 17025 accredited. Okay, I get a few questions here now. Yeah, And this is a well, I guess it's an opinion. Is the scope of accreditation enough, or should an on-site audit of a third-party lab be done? Well, one thing with particularly organizations that are being accredited, excuse me, by an ILAC signatory. And I recall I've been in this this arena for a while, and I used to have customer audits. Customers come in, audit my lab. I was providing calibration services. We got involved with 17025, and one of the big things with 17025 accreditation is an international standard, particularly if it's an accrediting body under the ILAC MRA. So, you know, ideally, if there's accredited, they are subjected to the assessments of the ILAC signatory, breaking down the barriers to trade, that sort of thing. The ILAC symbol is an internationally recognized symbol. So in my opinion, if an organization is already accredited for the services you need, and you look at review their scope, and I would suggest you get a copy of their scope of accreditation. I would say that would be enough, that the actual third party accrediting body is doing that internal auditing for you. And bear in mind, the accrediting bodies under the ILAC MRA, we're overseen by ILAC. We're assessed at regular intervals. We're assessed to a standard 17011. We also assess to assure that we are complying with ILAC's policy documents. We are a testing lab. It is interlab. Okay, so I guess that's a carry on from that first question. So, yep, you can have as a criteria for your interlab partner to be 17025 accredited. would be a good criteria to have. We actually used to require that in PL1 accreditation. I'm reading a question. I'm trying to digest it. Just. Do we need to have ISO certification for distribution of consumable items? Again, just like 17025, these programs, all the ISO standards, they're completely voluntarily. Mostly, they are customer driven. I would say, do you need to have ISO certification? That would be dependent upon your customers or your customers requiring it. Or else you could utilize it just to improve your system and making sure that your system is operating appropriately. But as far as a requirement, or do you need to have, there is nothing mandating that as far as us having your accreditation. That's strictly a voluntary voluntary activity. However, it could be customer driven, customers requiring it. Like I mentioned, one thing with traceability, 17025 accreditation, that's a slam dunk as far as assuring traceability of your measurements. An organization should not be accredited if they are providing traceable measurements. This other one, next question. Are the reevaluations generally done annually or closer to real time after goods delivered or services provided? Again, the requirement is you have to monitor, reevaluate your suppliers. I would say, and this is my opinion, there's nothing written in the stone. I would say, well, annually is a good time, and potentially during your management review. perhaps go back, look at your suppliers, look at the ones that are up for reevaluation, and then do it then. All right, I think that's the end of the questions. There's one question. Go back and see if I can understand it. Yeah, I want to read. I don't understand the question. Who would normally perform the evaluation, e.g., getting the actual end user's feedback on performance of the quality manager's awareness of performance? I don't understand that question. So, that's why I'm not really going to speculate on an answer for that one. I don't know of any upcoming revision to 17025. I believe they're up for review every 5 years. As far as anything coming down the pike here over the next few years, we would have known that by now. Okay, that appears to be the end of everything here. Again, I want to thank everybody for joining us. You found this information beneficial. Bear in mind the course coming up in February. This is the end of December, so happy holidays, everyone. And check the PJLA website for upcoming webinars. Again, I enjoyed doing them throughout the year and look forward to getting with you during my next presentation. Thank you.